Thank you. Let them come and let them drink waters of life freely. Amen. Let's look into the Word of God. The book of Genesis chapter 3 verses 1 through 5. Genesis chapter 3 verses 1 through 5. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. What we find here is at the very beginning of the Bible, God begins to set His own rules. We live in a society that despises rules, guidelines, standards, or any such thing that will try to tell us what to do. And that spirit rose up in Eve through the subtlety of the serpent. And she said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. And that was a lie. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, what the devil has done here is he's come in with half-truth, half-lie, and has mixed it all together. Amen. He was right when he said, You shall be as gods. He was right when he said that you will know good and evil, but he didn't tell the rest of the story. Now we're over here saying, who really needed to know? Did we really need to know? And he said that if you would eat the fruit, you shall not surely die. Is Eve still with us today? She's gone. She did die. And so it is. The devil has deceived. We see at the very beginning his attack, trying his best to destroy the bloodline that will lead us to Jesus Christ. And so let's look to the Lord in prayer. I just want to preach, bind and loose. We have come to this house today with the ability to bind some things and to loose some things. And I need to let you know that so you can put it into action and have some authority in your life. Amen? What God was giving Eve was not a restriction, but He was giving her an authority. And so it's the way we look at it, I guess. Let's look to the Lord and ask God in prayer to move in our hearts right now through the Word of God. Let's pray, everyone, together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're asking You, Lord, tonight to move through the Word of God. Speak to our hearts and our souls and our lives. Give us guidance. Give us direction. Let Your Spirit move and let the power of God flow. We look to You tonight, God, for Your wisdom, guidance, direction, Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. God blesses you seated just now. Thank you, everyone, for being in the house of the Lord with us this evening. Praise God. Bind and loose. When Jesus gave Simon Peter the keys to the New Testament message, he let him know that whatsoever you bind will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What he was saying was that I am going to turn you loose with this gospel message. I'm going to let you have it, and I'm going to give you authority over it. And everyone that adheres to it will receive gospel salvation. Amen. We have become as God. We are not God. We are not gods. But we have become as gods in that we have knowledge, more knowledge than any species that he has created on this planet Earth. And we are the only species that has the ability to think it out, consider it, and then make a decision. And so there are two points I'd like to bring to your attention this evening regarding Satan. Number one is that he never created anything. If anything, he has destroyed a lot of things that God did create. He is not a creator. He is a destroyer. And Satan is here tonight seeking and trying to find whom he can destroy. To him, he has already informed someone in this building that the altar is off limits to you. That prayer is off limits to you. That worship is off limits to you. Now, when I make statements like that, some of you cut, when you hear me say that, that's all you hear that night. I made a statement just a few services ago, and I said, some of you feel like that since you have come to this church, that all hell is broken loose on you, and that since you've come to this church, that you've never gone through some of the things that you've ever gone through. And I went on to explain why, and you never heard that. The only thing you heard was this, that you're going through the greatest hell you've ever gone through. But I'm ready. Are you ready to hear some answers tonight? Amen. My poor little negative 4'11" sister. She called me the other night. I'm always giving you reports on my sister, you know. She's, bless her heart, she can't help it. She was born so negative. She called. She said, I haven't heard from you in 2 or 3 weeks. I thought something was wrong. I said, well, Linda, I'm fine. I'm just great. I'm wonderful. She said, we're believing, aren't we? I said, right. We're believing. Yeah, you just called and said you thought something was wrong. Amen. Listen, if we're going to look for the wrong, guess what we're going to find? If we're going to look for the bad, guess what we're going to find? If we're going to look for the negative, guess what we're going to find hiding under the rock? The devil's going to pick a boo at you and say, hello, it's me again. Amen. We need to look beyond that and understand that we are a blessed people. I look down the aisles and I don't see any oxygen tanks. I look down the aisles and I don't see any hospital beds. I look down the aisles and I don't... As far as I know, I don't see anybody here riddled with cancer. Come on, somebody. You ought to rejoice tonight because you're blessed. The Spirit of God has come to inform you that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Wow. I've come to tell you that you have a creative force. You have the power of God. You have the Spirit of God. And so now it's time to create some things. That same God that is living on the inside of us stepped out and made a world out of nothing. He made a heaven out of nothing. And that same God is in you. When you can't see the victory, why don't you spread your hands and create it? When you don't see healing, why don't you stand up and create a healing? Woo! Why don't you create something right out of nothing tonight? Oh, you may be going through hell, but why don't you pronounce heaven right now? Why don't you announce that you're going to be in heaven? Don't clap your hands just because I'm preaching good. You clap your hands because it's dawning on you that you are as God. When He came into you, He gave you some abilities. And some of those abilities ought to give you strength. They ought to give you power. They ought to give you anointing. Amen. Come on now. Get out of the negative. You know why the devil won't let some of you worship tonight? It's because you can't worry and worship at the same time. You can't worry and worship at the same time. You're either going to worry or you're going to worship. Now, what are you going to do? But I don't know what's going to happen. No, and you don't know the power of my God. I don't know where I'm going to wind up. No, and you haven't felt the anointing lately. Amen. You need to get your hands in the air. You need to get your feet on the floor. Somebody needs to exercise your faith and turn God loose and let God go. You can't be depressed and determined at the same time. Hello? Amen. You can't be aggravated but aggressive at the same time. Hallelujah. Because one or the other is going to occupy your mind. Amen. I've made up my mind to make it to heaven. Some days it's 3 feet forward and six steps back. But I'm going to make up for it tomorrow. And I'm going to make up for it the next day. I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there is a wide open gate waiting for us. There's a door that's open. There's windows that are open. And there's opportunity. I knew I was preaching the right message. You may be seated. Hello? Amen. I want you to catch on to what this preacher's trying to say. The devil's never created anything. Amen. He might make you feel good, but he can't give you victory. Hello? There's medication out there, but it can't heal you. Amen. There's all kinds of doctors practicing medicine, but God's not, he's not practicing. He can heal. He's a healer. He's not practicing healing. He is a healer. How many of you have ever been healed by God? My Lord, why don't you jump to your feet and shout hallelujah and let some of these other folks know. Let some of these other folks know what God can do. Let some of these other folks know what the power of God can do. What the refreshing, renewing of the Spirit can do. Hey, not every one of these folks can lie. Not every one of these folks are lying. I'm telling you, you better catch on quick here tonight that what He can do for them, He can do for you as well. What He's doing for them, He can do for you. God created joy, happiness, freedom, peace. The devil plays on it. He'll tell you God's joy and happiness and freedom and peace are not real joy, but mine is. I'm just telling you, Satan is a liar. And he's always been a liar. Amen. Some of, and any of us, and probably all of us, that have enjoyed a little sin at one time in our lives, then we understood it felt good for a while and it had its rewards. But later on, the Bible says your sins will find you out. When they find you out, boy, that's a D-Day. Number two, the devil's never redeemed or saved anything. In fact, he has a whole lot of casualties and failures to account for. He started with only a third of heaven because a third of heaven was kicked out because of him. There's no scars on his hands, no scars on his feet. There's no spear driven through his side. There's no stripes on his back for my healing. I wonder who I ought to be looking toward. Wonder who I ought to be praising. Amen. Wonder who I ought to be dancing for. Hello? Amen. I got a message for those churches that won't let us sing in the church, but they go out there and sing country music. Go out there and listen to rock and roll and every other thing that's going on. Listen. Amen. It was stolen from the church house. Music was stolen from the church house. Singing was stolen. Dancing was stolen from the church house. It's time to bring all this back and let's have a revival. It's time to bring all of this back. David said, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. David danced before the ark of God. There was music before the ark. There was singing before. There was singing in the temple of God. There was a move of the Holy Ghost in the temple of God. The power of God fell on the day of Pentecost. Let's bring all that back so we can have revival. My Bible said the first day there was 120. There was 3,000. Then there was 5,000. And then there was a multitude. They couldn't even count them. Are you ready for those days again? Well, we're not going to have them with our little booties frozen to the seat of our chair. The only way we're going to have that is to have a fire that will fall from heaven and drench us and saturate us with anointing and authority and Spirit. When the Spirit fell, the fire fell with it. Hallelujah. There was a time when Samson caught, I think it was, 300 foxes, tied their tails together, caught their tails on fire and turned them loose. I'm asking the Lord to come catch our tails on fire. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm tired of going through the ritual. Little sermon. Little sermonette. Little song by a quartet. Amen. And then a churchette. And then we go and eat fried chicken. And everybody's the same way they've always been. We will never change our world. And they will never bend our direction until we show them something different. And when it's different, it's got to be better than what they're used to. Amen. It's got to be better than what they're accustomed to. I'm tired of the devil having more bar rooms than the Lord has churches. Amen. I'm ready to come out of the closet, march up and down the street, and let this world know there's a camp meeting going on down at Landmarks United Pentecostal. There's fire still falling in the church of the living God. Hallelujah. If you're here in need tonight, don't let the devil deceive you again. I'm just telling you, let me tell you one more time. Trouble did not start because you're here. Trouble didn't start because you started living for God. Let me tell you what happened. Now, this is what the devil doesn't want you to hear. Now, bend your ears this direction. You heard the trouble part. I'm going to tell you what's going on. The Lord knew that these kind of physical problems, these financial problems, and these situations were going to come your way. And so he interrupted and he said, if they're going to have to go through them, then I'm going to show them the church and I'm going to be right there with them while they do. Some of you think the trouble came because you're here. I'm telling you, the Lord came into your life because the trouble was coming. He didn't cause it. He's here to help you with it. The one that's caused it is sitting up in the corner laughing at you, blaming God and blaming the church. It ain't the church's problem. It ain't God's fault. It's the devil's fault. But God has come into your life to be with you. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end. He's come to help you through this situation. He's come to give you strength through your struggle. Does that make sense? Praise God. It's faith time. Somebody shout, it's faith time. Amen. And a mother was teaching her little boy how to use the telephone. And she made a fake call. It wasn't even a real call. And she went through the whole routine. And she said, oh, well, there's no answer, so I'll just hang up. He grabbed the phone and he put it to his ear. And he said, wait a minute, Mommy. It sounds like somebody might be coming. She didn't even call anybody. Well, you talk about faith. Hello? Satan said that God doesn't hear you when you pray. He's not watching you when you come to church. That God doesn't care about you. But faith says, wait a minute. I think somebody's coming. Wait just a minute. I think somebody's on their way. And faith's forecast says that the sun's getting ready to shine for somebody. Faith's forecast says somebody's getting ready to receive a healing. Faith's forecast says that somebody's getting ready to be baptized in the name of the Lord. That somebody's getting ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Faith's forecast. You don't want to hear any preaching tonight. You don't want to be here tonight. I'm just telling you, faith is in the house. Somebody needs to encourage yourself, strengthen and be anointed in the Spirit, and receive what you need from God tonight. Hallelujah. There's only one God, and we are not Him. Hallelujah. You don't know what your future holds. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. And so it would be good for us to go with God and take Him with us. Can you say amen? The Word of God said, I am. You know what that means? I'm not. Praise God. That's right. Hallelujah. He is. And so He's the one that we should lean on. He's the one that we should depend on. Don't you ever come to me and say, I tried prayer. You don't try prayer. You live prayer. If it don't work today, you go back at it tomorrow. If it don't work tomorrow, you go back at it the next day. Even Jesus prayed several times for individuals to let us know that we may have to do that in the future. Amen. He could have met every need he wanted to meet it the first time, and he didn't even have to pray. Amen. All he had to do was look at somebody. But for our example, he prayed several times for several folks in the Word of God to let us know not everything you want is going to come easy. Not everything you want is going to come the first time. Could it be because once we get it, we're going to hang on to it? If it was hard to get, then we're going to hang on to it with everything we've got. Hello? Come on now. I was in a meeting in Fayetteville just the other day. We were in a planning session for the year in the Sunday school department across the state. And I was there as Sunday school director for the state of North Carolina. And I stepped in. There was a couple there that was making everything, getting everything prepared, making everything ready. And I saw how hard they were working. I said, brother and sister, I said, if every church in North Carolina had 100 of folks like you, we'd have revival. Boy, she just beamed and she smiled. And I continued to walk on down the hallway to my place of meeting. And she came up behind me. She said, Brother Marshburn, she said, I just wanted to tell you. She said, I've been in this church, I don't know. She said, like 16, 18 years. And she said, my husband's just been in the church for 6 months. I looked at her. I said, some things are worth waiting for, aren't they? I want to tell somebody here today, you need to give up on your give up and get back up and get your get up. Hello? And stop saying, I tried, I don't know what to do. Yes, you know what to do. You go back again. Because something, listen. Mary came to the tomb, did she not? While she was at the tomb, staying there, what did the disciples do? The men of God. They were walking off. Some of them were already contemplating going back fishing. Some of them were already had it in their mind. Where's those nets that I discarded when I was following Jesus? I need to go back to Daddy and get my nets back. I'm going back fishing. Jesus is gone. I don't know what to do. So the only thing I know to do is go fishing. But one lady stood by the tomb, and she's the only one that saw the resurrection. She's the only one that saw the face of God before He ascended. She's the only one. Why? She waited. I'm just telling you, some things are worth waiting for. And it don't matter how long it takes. You hear what I'm saying? You got somebody that's lost? Raise your hand. You know somebody in your family that needs God? Raise your hand. Hey, what if it takes 6 months? What if it takes 6 years? I tell you what I'm going to do between now and then. Until my daddy speaks in that heavenly language, I'm going to see him doing it. I'm going to see him with his hands up. I'm going to see him raised with his hands raised. I'm going to see him worshiping God. I can't give up on that. I can't stop praying about that. I can't stop worshiping God. I don't have time to worry. I can't have time to get depressed. I can't get down and out and discouraged and all messed up. 30 seconds of seeing somebody that I've been praying for being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb would be worth 30 years of praying for them. Some of you have not received the victory quite like you really need it. What are you going to do? Get depressed? Are you going to give up? Or are you going to keep tapping on the rock? Are you going to keep coming to church? Keep loving God? Keep lifting up the name of the Lord? Am I making sense here tonight? I'm just telling you things that will save your soul. I'm telling you things that will make you rapture ready. Don't you give up on God, because God would never give up on you. Don't you let the devil tell you that he don't love you, that God don't care for you. If he didn't care for you, you wouldn't be here tonight. Help me worship him right now, would you? Would you join me in praise just a little while? Would you lift up the name of the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise God. We are, because of Adam and Eve, as gods with knowledge of good and evil and the power of choice. We're the only creations with this ability. This world is not a paradise. We have a decision to make. Here, this world, and all it has to offer, or there. And I'm going to tell you, especially young people, sometimes we deceive ourselves thinking, well, you know, I've tallied it up and I got 60 more years around here. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. You govern that. You can't die in a car wreck like some of the teenagers that just graduated high school last year right here in Davidson County. You can't drown at High Rock Lake like some of our teenagers did last year in Davidson County and this year already. Hello? Come on now. You can't get cancer and pass away. You can't do this. Listen, you don't have 60. You don't know what you've got. What we've got to do is make up our mind that we're not going to make this world our home. That we're just passing through. That heaven is our home. And that's where we're headed for. Can you say amen? We have a power of choice here tonight. Amen. One garden got us in trouble, but another garden's going to get us out. Now, Adam and Eve's garden got us in all kinds of trouble. That's why you have to punch the clock. That's why you have to drive the truck. That's why you have to show up at the furniture factory. That's why you have to work. That's why women have babies. Men say hallelujah. That's why there's trouble and pain and sorrow and sickness and all of that in having babies. And it's not God's fault, it's Adam and Eve's fault. They brought all that in right there in that first garden. But there's another garden that we need to visit tonight. When he visited this garden, the Bible said he sweat like it was great drops of blood. When he bowed his head and began to pray in this garden, he brought redemption in. And that's the garden we need to run to. We don't need to run back to the garden of rebellion and degradation and backsliding and losing out with God. We need to run forward to the Garden of Gethsemane where he bled on the rock. Amen. And redeemed us by his blood. We need to call on the name of the Lord tonight, because where one garden got us in trouble, another garden got us out. You need to take advantage of that. I said you need to take... Somebody get that. Everybody's looking at it. Somebody get that right there. Everybody's looking at it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say amen. Join me again in church. Praise God. Let's have church. Amen. Are you in trouble? Are you going through trial? Are you going through tribulation? Amen. Is there a death in the family and you're wondering why somebody in your family has to die when everybody in the world has to die? Is there sorrow? And just because it's your sorrow, you feel like that God's left you when everybody in the world at one time or another feels sorrow? Are you going through pain and suffering? Have you had to leave your garden of comfort and paradise? Well, if you have, you need to run to Zion tonight. You need to run to the hills from whence cometh your help. Somebody needs to run to God. Somebody needs to be... At Gethsemane, he drank from the cup of bitterness for every one of us. Now, I don't have to drink from that cup. I don't have to go through that suffering, that pain, and that agony. The Lord has already done that for me. Hallelujah. I want to run to the city of God. I want to run to the place of victory. I want to run to new direction. I want to run to a place for godly guidance. Hallelujah. Have you been banished from life the way it was? Well, then you need to get to God tonight. In times like this, it's the only thing that makes sense. There's still a righteousness. There's still a joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, God's doing a new thing. And I'm afraid some of us are going to let it pass us by if we're not careful. When God spoke to Noah, he was ready to do a new thing. And Noah was the only one that heard his voice to say, when God said, build me an ark. He was the only one that heard it. He preached like a lunatic over 100 years, trying to get people to join with him. And they thought he was an idiot. And so it is. That church down there, they're idiots. That preacher's an idiot. He's up there screaming his head off, telling everybody to get ready, telling everybody how they can have victory. How they can overcome the world, and they can overcome the devil. How they can believe God and God can heal their body, save their souls, redeem their family. He's telling them that they're going to, one time, at some time or another, they're going to have 1,000 people going to that church and they're going to have to build a new sanctuary. He is out of his mind. But I want to tell you something. Every time I preach, I feel like I'm at the bow of a huge boat that is in construction. And I'm telling everybody, you better get in because God's getting ready to shut the door. Amen. Because my Bible says, just like it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end time. I'm just another Noah standing on the bow of the boat, preaching my guts out, trying to get people to get in before the flood tide of sin takes over. Amen. Is anybody here going to hear me? Can anybody here hear me? There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind that there were not a lot of people out there that were religious. But what God was shooting for was a relationship. Amen. He's not looking at religion now. That's what he looked at in the Old Testament. They had their little rituals and they had their little times. And they brought cows in, sacrificed, blood flowed everywhere. The high priest ate this and he ate that. Couldn't eat this, couldn't eat that. And on and on and on. Certain times, certain days, certain feasts, certain festivals. And that's what they had. But listen, the Lord, he wants more than religion in the New Testament. He wants a relationship, not just with the church. He wants a relationship with you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me. He wants a relationship. He wants to walk through the garden with me. He wants to speak to me in the cool of the evening. And I'm telling you, He is giving His people direction for this last day. We've got barely enough time to get in here and get done what God needs to be done before He shuts the doors of opportunity. We are looking at the rapture of the church of the living God. And we must get ready and be prepared. Hallelujah. You need to stand with me or I'll preach all night long. I'm trying to convince somebody. Notice the difference between the two garden accounts. One is about verdict and the other is about exile. Some of us are trying to go into exile when the Lord's trying to redeem us. The other one is about release and return. When God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden and said, till the ground and have babies, He placed an angel with a sword guarding the entrance to paradise and they could not go back in. But when our God became flesh, He came to another garden. And in this garden, He gave us release so that we can return. One garden is about condemnation. The other is about reconciliation. One is about loss of relationship. The other is about return of relationship. One garden had angels as guards to separate the other had angels to announce redemption. In Eden, everything fell apart. I'm just asking you tonight, are you on the outskirts of Eden? Because if you are, I'm just here to tell you, at Calvary, it all came back together. And there's an invitation for someone to visit Calvary tonight. There's an invitation for someone to visit where the warm blood still flows and heals and sets free and delivers from sin, sickness, and disease. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. While the church is in prayer, I want somebody to make up your mind to turn around and come home. Turn around and come home. He's waiting for you to come home. His arms are spread to receive you unto Himself. He longs to take you back and He paid a terrible price to do it. He's speaking to you as He spoke to Abraham when He said, Abraham, get up. And everywhere you put your feet, I'll give it to you. If you'll make your steps toward Calvary today, every step you take, God will give you victory toward that. While the church is praying, I wonder if there's just be somebody that would step out by faith tonight and receive what this preacher's talking about. Receive what this preacher has preached about tonight. I'm hungry for holiness. I'm hungry for righteousness. I'm hungry for the whole blessings of God. I don't want it just a little dab, because a little dab won't do you. I want a relationship with God. I want my family to have a relationship with God. And if I need to lead the way, I'm ready to lead the way. I wonder if there's anybody in the house that will step out and join me around the altar right now. And let's pray the prayer of faith together. Let's just pray the prayer of faith. As these are coming this evening, I'd like to ask the church body to come and help us pray. Help us reach out with somebody that so desperately needs something from God tonight. From the presence of God.
The time is now, don't hesitate. Get your house in order. This could be the day when Jesus comes to take His bride away. For I know that this could be the day.
In Jesus' name.
We've waited for so long.
Holy Ghost.
The day when Jesus cracks the sky.
Families with families.
To call His children.
Children with their families.
Put the
their moms and their dads, sons and daughters with their moms and their dads. Everybody reaching out with somebody.
Know this could be the day.
Because this could be the day.
Oh,
this
let could everybody be the day. Know
Jesus.
This could be the day.
Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost.
Well,
Holy Ghost. Mighty God.
We're going to hear Him say.
Touch right now by Your Spirit.
Oh, You fought the fight. You ran the race. Your battle has been won.
Oh,
it's
late.
Yeah. We're
gonna hear
Him say,
Jesus,
the fight you see, I'll say your
face by Your power, presence,
to face.
Ooh, oh,
let
by the love of God, the power of the Holy
know,
Ghost,
this could be
right
the
now,
day.
God, to make the difference in her.
Let everybody know, this could be the day. Well done, I've got to hear Him say, oh, You fought the fight, You have ran the race, Your battle has been won, it's a reed. We're gonna hear Him say, and we'll finally see Jesus face to face. Oh, let everybody know this could be the day. Oh, I know that this could be the day we've waited for so long. The day when Jesus cracks the sky to call His children home. Put the trumpet to your mouth. Blow it loud and strong. Let everybody know that this could be the day. Oh, let everybody know this could be the day. Oh, Jesus said, I'm coming back again. I'm coming to reclaim my people. To live and reign with Him. No man knows the hour, but I know it won't be long till we'll hear that trumpet sound and we'll be going home. I know we'll all be going home. This could be the day we've waited for so long. Jesus cracks the sky to call His children home. Put that trumpet to your mouth. Blow it loud and strong. Oh, let everybody know this could be the day. Let everybody know this could be the day.
I believe we ought to break out. We ought to break out right now in nothing but victory. I believe we ought to break out right now in nothing but worship. I believe somebody ought to be encouraged right now through your praise. Come on, let's lift up the name. Let's honor the name.
I know that it's good.
Oh, yeah.
Blessings this time.
up in the morning and the devil's standing beside your bed and he tries to slip into your head. You know what? I like what one young man did. He stepped up to the cash register and the lady purposely tried to zip him of his change. She started dishing out the change and it was way short. He said, "You know, you're a little short on my change." And she said, "No, I'm not." He said, "That's okay. You're not getting in my head. Have a nice day." He felt like if she needed it worse than he did. I've seen people just threaten to tear down the store, cops, SWAT team, hello, because it got so into their head. When the devil's there in the morning, you look at him with a smile and say, "I've been waiting for you. I got somebody with me now. I got backup." Somebody shout his name. Shout his name. Shout his name. When you wake up in the morning, you've got backup. You take the name of Jesus and you overcome some things. You bind some things. You turn some things loose. You get up in the morning, every step you take, you pronounce victory. There's victory in this bedroom. There's victory in this bathroom. There's victory in this kitchen. There's victory in this living room. There's victory in this car. There's victory in this job. Listen, people are going to look at you funny. Like you're a fanatic. But I looked up the word fanatic. And the word fanatic means that you are a fan of someone or something. Duh. Where can I get me a flag? Where can I put it on my car? Where can I put a... Hello? Right now, what is it? I don't know. I'm not a sportsman, but there's football, there's baseball, there's basketball. You see them going down the freeway. They got junk on their face. They got junk on their car. Hey, could they care less? Absolutely not. They don't care what anybody says. In fact, they don't mind letting you know what team they're on. All I'm saying is that when you get up in the morning, let the devil know what team you're on. Just let him know what team you're on. Now, try something with me. Smile. Yeah. Now do that all week. God bless you as you're dismissed in Jesus' name. Shake somebody's hand. Greet a friend and a guest and a visitor. Tuesday night Bible study, 7:30. God bless you. Thank you for coming.